Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Disclosure is not just an attack on America's foreign policy interests. It is an attack on the international community. The alliances and partnerships, the conversations and negotiations that safeguard global security and advance economic prosperity.
I will continue to be playing basketball whenever I get a chance. In fact, I played yesterday with Sasha and Malia, and they took it easy on me because they were feeling pity.
He understands that we are a responsible organization. So it's trying to make it as hard for us as possible to publish responsibly in the hope that it can get us to not publish anything at all. Because not publishing anything at all would mean not publishing the abuses by that organization.
Throw mama from the train, a kiss.
It is the Savage Nation. Now, the reason I've selected Throw Mama from a Train, a Kiss, is because I have my own sneaking suspicion as to how this slimy creature, Assange, of WikiGate can get away with this. That's because there are people in high places who want him to get away with it. Now, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the encrypted cables and what they really mean. I'm going to talk about WikiGate. I'm going to tell you that I think that this is a political hit by Obama against Hillary Clinton because he knows she wants to challenge him in the Democratic primary. These leaks have already destroyed her politically. I mean, this is the only explanation. Obama closed down pocketbook websites two weeks ago. Was selling, you know, like knockoff designer pocketbooks. The FBI did a strike on the pocketbook folks. The pocketbook criminals were closed down. And yet this guy has been saying, I'm going to do it. He released this stuff before. So how does this happen? It's a hit by Obama. And that's why the U.S. government did nothing to stop the release of these documents, even though they knew about it for months. It's destroyed Hillary Clinton. Which is why we're playing Throw Mama from the Train, a kiss. There are other stories and very important things I have to talk about as well on this gloomy Tuesday. It's always the same after Thanksgiving. Isn't it the same? I told you this was coming. It's not like you have to be a genius to know. You indulge yourself for 4 days, the sugar and the alcohol and this. Monday, you're like a gorilla in a zoo and they used to throw candy over the side. You know what I mean? By Tuesday, you don't know if you're alive or dead. You got nothing to look forward to now till Christmas. And you're broke to top it all off. So speaking of encrypted cables, I had the worst lunch in decades today. I got to tell you about it. I think it's important to tell you I had the worst Chinese food in history. I had ersatz Chinese food designed for children with ADD and their Munchausen by proxy parents who feed them sugar to trigger the ADD, namely the food at P.F. Chang's China Bistro. Now, I have nothing against P.F. Chang's. I've eaten there from time to time, and I've gotten to know some of the people, and I've said, you know, your food is okay, but why do you have to dose everything with sugar? Well, even though I've told them over and over again, stop making candy food, stop making cotton candy food, stop making jelly apples out of shrimp with lobster sauce, it happened again today. So I thought it was important that I share with you my view of this ersatz Chinese food, because something's got to give in America. The food is so bad in these chain restaurants that I don't know how they stay in business. Do people not understand that human beings are not made to eat sugar in every dish that they buy? This is an anomaly. This is an American adaptation to every cuisine, which is to dose everything with sugar. Also, I have something to admit on the Savage Nation today. You know, I'm up 3 o'clock in the morning working on my novel. As you know, I signed a novel, a very exciting novel with St. Martin's Press. It'll be out this summer. And we're on a very, very tight schedule. I'm not going to talk about it other than to say I was up 3 in the morning worrying about my new baby, while worrying about trickle-up poverty, while worrying about my next nonfiction book, while immersed. So there's a lot going on, but actually this is all a wonderful thing to tell you about. I'll tell you why. See, normal people who don't have a lot going on in their lives wake up in the middle of the night and wonder about issues such as mortality, like what it means to be alive, what's going to happen after they die. But people like myself who are hyper-busy, working on too many projects for a normal man, don't have the time to even think about mortality. I've thought about it from the time I was 5 years old. I decided a while ago to forget about it because I've done all the thinking I ever want to do on it, because I found out no amount of thinking on it has any effect whatsoever. So I took all of that nervous energy about fearing dying and turned it into the most wonderful career on earth. Consequently, I worked harder than any 5 men that I know. But consequently, I can get up in the middle of the night and I don't need chamomile, I don't need valerian, I don't need Ambien, I don't need Valium, I don't need anything other than I go downstairs with the bathrobe in the middle of the night and start working on my emails and working on my books. What could be better? And after about an hour, it's as though I took a medication. I then crawl back up the steps, take off the bathrobe, crawl back into bed. The dog jumps on the bottom of the bed, curls up around my feet, and before I know it, I'm asleep, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'm a normal man again. And so, therefore, it's not so bad to be too busy. I must tell you that. Last night, being just fed up with restaurants, I made stuffed peppers. What the heck? How could you go from WikiLeaks to stuffed peppers? I have to tell you about stuffed peppers, because the whole world is in a stuffed is in a stuffed pepper. You don't realize that when you're involved in cooking, you know how hard it is to cook? I realize every time I cook, I'm amazed at restaurants, how they do this. I don't know how they do it. I do not know how they manage to put out so many meals that come out warm at the same time and hot and cold and this, and all on a table, and you're complaining about this. So I made stuffed peppers, which I do once a year when it's very hot outside, cold outside, excuse me. I opened up a very expensive bottle of Bordeaux. Big deal. I got a headache anyway. I should have stuck to beer. You know, here's the thing that you got to remember. The New York Times cookbook, although it's fairly good, is wrong about stuffed peppers. They say 350 degrees for 30 to 40 minutes. They are so wrong. It's 500 degrees for an hour, or the peppers are going to be like uncooked. They're just not going to be melted. They have to be soft. A real stuffed pepper, and I'm talking about stuffed with beef and rice. I mean, I treat the beef. I used a lot of good Hungarian paprika, and that's an homage to some, whatever. The paprika is wonderful in the winter. Now, why am I rambling on about a stuffed pepper? I don't know. I feel like talking about stuffed peppers. I'm trying to warn you that if you ever try to make stuffed peppers properly, use red, not green peppers, number one. Number two, make sure you soak them in sufficient sauce so they don't dry out. Use 500 degrees for 1 hour. And be sure to tent the top of the peppers with aluminum foil after 30 minutes and keep basting. Keep drinking and keep basting. 1-800-449-8255. Savage Nate. I know you're shocked. You'd rather me talk more about how Obama's out to get Hillary. But I've done it. I mean, what more do you want me to say? Make believe I'm talking to you in a cafe. So you already heard the story from every Schmendrick on earth. Every Putz, wall banger, this one, that one, they all have an opinion, they gave it a name, Cablegate. It's so inappropriate to call it Cablegate. No one knows that it has to do with cables. There are no cables. They're encrypted emails, schmuck. They're not cables. We're not living in the time of the 1930s. They're encrypted emails, Schmendrick. If you want to call it encrypted email gate, let's call it Wikigate. I'll tell you another reason that I wanted to talk about the stuffed peppers and how bad the food is in certain Chinese restaurants. See, San Francisco happens to have the best Chinese food in the world, if you know where to go, you know, in the various areas like the Richmond District. I don't go to Chinatown much. There are a few good restaurants there. I go out on the avenues in San Francisco. There's a couple of great places, really great Chinese food. And there's no sugar. They know me. No cornstarch, no sugar. And the food is good. It's probably better than in China because the ingredients are fresher. You know, they're not like made in melanin encampments. Here, someone wants to talk about stuffed peppers. I know I get one person to give me a call on it. Here's a story that really is bothering me today. So I'm up 3 in the morning. Let me see the time on this. I swear to God, here it is. I printed it up at 3:58 a.m. I'm not lying to you. I'm looking at about 11:30, 2010, 3:58 a.m. I knew it. I was up at 3. So after I did all my stuff, I went on to the news. This story caught my eye. Democratic policy group would cut Social Security for top earners in the U.S. I started to boil. They want to cut my Social Security income if I decide to take it after I have contributed into this Ponzi scheme for 50 years? They want to steal this money from me to give it to a bunch of deadbeat bums and illegal aliens? Who is behind this, I ask myself. They call it a Democratic-led policy group. Well, they mean communist, and I have their names, by the way. And this group is called Third Way. I told you long ago when I heard the word Third Way used by Bill Clinton and then Tony Blair that it was a front for international socialism. I'm always right. You know, I'm wrong on some things, and that's rarely, but I'm never wrong on international affairs. I have never been wrong on international affairs, not once. Not once have I been wrong. I never called it wrong. Never. Never. Going back to my beginning in talk radio. So now you see these far-left radicals under Obama want to cut Social Security for top earners in the U.S. Well, guess what? I'm a top earner, and so you may be as well. Do you know what a top earner is, according to them? Do you know who it is who is not going to be getting their Social Security under these communist rats, all of whom are multi-billionaires or multi-millionaires? I'll tell you when I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
All right, it's the Savage Nation. I mean, you want me to go on and on about Wiki this and Wiki that. I'm sick of that character. I think he's a creep. I personally think that the only reason he did this is because Obama's behind it to destroy Hillary Clinton. I've explained that to you. And now let's move on. I mean, how else do you explain a guy attacking Russia, attacking Italy, attacking everyone on the conservative side, and he's still living? Why? Because he's doing what he's told to do by his puppet masters. He may not even know it. He could be just a useful idiot, that's all. And besides, the world is basically a stuffed pepper. You know, I have a long-running joke on the Savage Nation that you can see the world through a meatball. That when America was great in the 1950s, the meatballs were large and tasty and fluffy. And as the years went on and we became more and more socialistic, the meatballs became smaller and meaner until they were devoid of any taste and they were very tiny like Swedish meatballs. And people have always loved that. But I'm changing the metaphor now to America is like a stuffed pepper. And that's why I'm talking about it. I'm talking about it because I cooked them last night. But you want to hear something funny? I don't eat a great deal of meat. I mean, everyone, I love how they talk today like it's a moral imperative. I don't eat red meat. Oh, I haven't eaten red meat in 30 years. I said, so what? What do you want, a prize? You ever see these people walking around? I haven't touched red meat in 33 years. Great. Well, what do you want, a halo? What do I care if you hate red meat or not? They walk around like it's a religious experience, not having red meat. Now, the fact of the matter is, I've eaten very little red meat over the last 35 years, but I take enormous quantities of ascorbic acid, known to you as vitamin C, pyridoxine, known to you as vitamin B6, and vitamin E in megadoses, because the schmucks who are doing other studies proving to you that vitamin E doesn't work are using a single kind of vitamin E in a very low dose in order to prove that you only need medication such as the deadly Lipitor or Lipitor-like poisons that destroy your neuromuscular system. Anyway, to get back to what I was talking about, I like to cook. So once in a while in the winter, I eat a lot of meat. I don't know. I get a craving when it gets cold for meat, so I make the stuffed pepper. It's low-fat meat, and animals that were going to – they went to Berkeley. They have a PhD before they're slaughtered. They all have a diploma. They were raised on cappuccinos, macchiatos with organically raised water. Anyway, the cow is in there, but I roll it in up. I chop up organic parsley, which is very important with meat. You have to spice the meat. I mean, the Greeks know what they're doing, and so do the Middle Easterners. Boy, I'll tell you, no one's better at meat than the Arabs. They know how to deal with meat. Many of you don't even understand that some of the Arabic cuisine is fantastic when it comes to meats, particularly the Persians. The Turks know how to cook meat. I'm afraid the Americans basically are a little too basic when it comes to meat. That way they throw the steak on a grill, It's unbelievable. Like heathens everywhere you turn, they're just grilling meat. You know, we've gone out of the Bronze Age a while ago. But here's the weird part. I eat stuffed peppers. I drink a half a bottle of the Bordeaux wine. All right, fine. In the middle of the night, I'm dreaming that I'm eating a piece of meat that's about a foot long. It's in my hand. It's not lean steak. It's fatty. And I'm biting into it, and I can't get enough of it. What's that all about? What in the heck is the metaphor? Please don't call me as a dreaming out. Now I'm going to get somebody from Chattanooga who's a dream analyst to tell me you're dreaming, that you want to bite into the side of life. But like, come on. You know, the fact is I'm just hungry for meat because it's cold out. And I need the carnitine, and I need the iron. Most Americans don't realize that when they don't eat meat, they're actually getting an iron deficiency and a carnitine deficiency, which cannot be replaced with fish, incidentally. And I'm a lover of fish up to a point. I'm talking myself into dinner, right? I'm still sick from the lunch. That ADD lunch was so horrible. You know, when I eat a sugary lunch, I get sick for hours. It's as though I ate a candy apple. Who ever heard of Chinese food that tastes like a candy apple? 1-800-449-8255. Virginia, Sam, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, please, Dr. Savage. I want to compliment you on your recipes of food. I'm a tech chef, and as a matter of fact, I'm Middle Eastern, too, and I know about cooking. Everything is just perfect, whether it's Spanish rice, you give the recipe down to the perfection, honestly, or any other thing. But the stuffed pepper, because some people, they either slice it two halves, you know, like both halves, or...
No. I like to have the whole pepper hollowed out, take out the seeds, and then I put the cap back on it. I like to see it cooking with the cap on it.
That's a Middle Eastern way and Greek way, exactly.
Isn't that something? You see how I pick things up over the years? You hang around with enough Greeks, you learn how to cook.
Yes, because you know how to eat. That's why.
That's true. No, it's all about knowing how to eat. It's really not knowing how to cook. Truthfully, it's absolutely true. If you know food, you can cook it. If you don't know food, no amount of recipe books is going to help you. Isn't that nice? I was going to give him a present,
Savage.
But it's too... It is the Savage Nation. You know, we're watching the world go by. Speaking of the king, he's my favorite king of all time, King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia. He came to New York for medical treatment, for surgery, of course. Where else would he go? Cuba. The only people who go to Cuba are the fools from NYU who want to cut sugar cane with the compenseros. But he comes to New York. First four doctors from Cornell go to Saudi Arabia. They investigate that you got a slipped disc, you know, whatever. You have to have surgery where? Not in Riyadh, in the Sterling Hospital they built there. Come to New York. So he can't come to a Jewish hospital. He has to go to Presbyterian. Didn't I tell you it would be Presbyterian? I was right again. So the king goes to some Presbyterian hospital in New York, and he takes up all the VIP rooms on the hospital. You don't know about that, but they have a floor, like in a hotel that you never see. And it's for people who pay a lot more money, and they should, and they do get better care, and they're on another floor. He took the whole floor. All of the other rooms are emptied out. They push the other people out of the rooms, and the king has the entire floor of VIP rooms to himself because he doesn't want to listen to an old man screaming about the gefilte fish being too salty next to him. I don't blame him, really. It's good to be king, frankly. If I had the money and the power and I needed to be hospitalized, I would do the same thing. Now, lucky for him, the king had given money to the hospital for years. This is how it works, folks, in case you don't know it. Whether you know it or not, it's the high-income earners who really get the better treatment in the world. Whether you want to accept it or not, it's the really, really high-income earners who get the best treatment, like the king of Saudi Arabia. Now, some of the things he has suggested, such as planting ships in Gitmo prisoners upon release because he's done it with falcons, makes good sense to me, and calling the Hitler of Iran Hitler after... I wonder if he receives the Savage Nation in Saudi Arabia in translation. I hope the king does, because I'm actually becoming a big fan of the king of Saudi Arabia. Now, you may say, now, come on, don't be absurd. We've read that the cables tell us that Saudi Arabia is behind funding of Al-Qaeda. That's a lie. If you actually read that, that was published in the New York Times with absolutely no verification from the original cables. Nobody could confirm or deny that the cable was even real. So this whole thing is the shadows on the wall that Plato tried to warn us against in some of his writings. All we're seeing are the shadows on the wall. None of us are seeing the actors themselves. And yet here we are reacting to the shadows on the wall as the common person has done since Roman times, if not before. That is why I'm talking about stuffed peppers. 1-800-449-8255. Peter, New York, you're on the Savage Nation from WOR.
Hey, Michael, how are you? Listen, I give you the recipe for stuffed peppers. You do the, just like you said, you saute the meat, salt and pepper to taste. You chop up some garlic. You get a sweet onion. You dice that up real small. You throw it in the meat, saute that. You dump in seasoned breadcrumbs, then you tweak the breadcrumbs with a little Parmesan or a little locatelli.
Well, okay, but that's good if... See, I don't eat cheese, so I skip the Parmesan cheese, which is a very easy way to make flavor happen in food. There's no question about it. And I'm not a big breadcrumb personality. I mean, I used rice. I bet you don't like the rice part of it, right?
The Sicilian type of a recipe that we learned to pass down through our family.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it. I just don't eat cheese because I get swelling in my hands and feet from any kind of cheese, so I don't eat it. I used to love it. I was an Italian cheese nut. In fact, I was recently in Beverly Hills with my family over the holidays, and they went to a cheese store on Rodeo Drive, of all places, stuck in between all these high-end clothing stores. There's an amazing cheese store. I mean, they bought like 10 cheeses inside. The dogs love cheese, incidentally.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm sorry. So do you use tomato sauce on your peppers?
You know, that's a part of whatever part of Italy you come from. You can mix a little sauce in. You could leave it full, just the way you did it. You cut it. You clean out the inside. You save the little top. You put some crushed tomatoes, some sauce in it. Or not. It depends what part of it.
That's right. All right, so let's say we've stuffed it, but I use chopped Italian parsley, number one, to get flavor it. I used a lot of paprika, number two, because it's winter. I love paprika. I don't even like it most of the year. So I stuffed the meat in. I did saute it with the garlic and the onion. Actually, I used the hot olive oil, then I put the garlic and onion in first until the onion was translucent. Then I added the meat that was already rolled in the parsley. Okay, blah, blah. Those are different methods. That's all. Then I stuffed the thing with pre-cooked rice that I just made a few minutes before. And then I put it into the tray, a porcelain tray in a hot oven. But I did drizzle the tomato sauce, the tomato juice I used all over it. Okay? It didn't come out the way I wanted it. Let me put it to you that way, Pete. It didn't have the bite I wanted.
Well, you were talking about in the New York Times cookbook... temperature settings, we always, I remember my mother, she used to open the thing, hey, poke it with the fork, it was done, and if it wasn't, she closed the door. I never remember what
that. Yeah, my mother too. She always was testing. You see, that's the mark of a good cook. Today, they look at a book and a timer. It's like doctors today. They don't look at the patient. They look at a chart, and then they ask you to leave after 4.5 minutes. It's the same with fake chefs. Ersatz chefs don't even look at the food. They look at the timer. The mothers knew how to touch the food and smell the food and look at the food, right?
Yeah, and they knew if it was done or not. I don't think my mother ever, or my mother-in-law going way back, ever made a bad stuffed pepper.
All right, but wait, here's but what temperature did she set the oven at, Pete?
Oh, I honestly, I couldn't.
Well, see, the New York Times says 350 degrees. That's the, I would say that's the WASP way of cooking a pepper. But the real way is to make it melt down. I mean, you got to use 500 degrees for an hour if you really want to get heat in there.
Well, if she did it at 350, she just left it in the oven longer. When she used to make sauce on Sunday, marinara or filetto pomodoro, she put it in at 6 o'clock, went to charge, and we ate at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The sauce was perfect every time.
How long did your mother live?
Well, she passed away 10 years ago. She was 81, but the last few years she was in a home.
That's sad. Yeah, I lost my mother a couple of years ago at age 88, and my mother happened to have the worst diet in the history of humankind. I don't know how she did it. She violated every dietary law known to mankind. I don't know how she did it.
Yeah, I think it's part of it was genetics.
Well, I hope so. I pray to God, because my father left the earth and is in the arms of God. He left in 1970. I haven't had a father since I'm a very young man. He never met his grandchildren. You know, it's been awful having no father. But the fact is God will bless her. She went on forever. This woman loved heavy meats and this and that. But I did put her on vitamins back in 1970, you know. She was on a multi and certain other vitamins I put her on. I think that helped a lot. She also didn't drink, and she didn't smoke, to her credit.
Yeah, my mom, too. Didn't drink or smoke. My father died in 1970 also at 52. Too young.
Oh, my. So they were the same generation. Well, my dad smoked like a chimney. Philip Morris, that midget killed him. One of your guys, Johnny Ribeiro, I think was his name. I don't know his name. Something like that. The midget?
Yeah.
Call for Philip Morris. The guy who likes showgirls and the, you know, powerboats out in Sheepshead Bay. But that's neither here nor there. But it was the cigarettes, I think. What took your father?
Leukemia.
Oh, my God. Now, wait a minute. Now, you know, I'm one of these guys. I do have a degree in epidemiology. I always ask, why do you think he got leukemia when I hear a story? Because that's an outlying statistic in many families. Why do you think he got it?
I don't know. Well, he was an outpatient at the VA. He was a World War II vet. And then in the late 60s, he had some kind of blood thing going on. I don't remember all the details. I was
What did he do for a living?
He was a factory worker.
Yeah, what kind of factory?
Oh, envelope paper. Worked for a Waring Sphinx. They made paper products, paper envelopes, a writing paper. Before,
well, as you know, there are very heavy industrial chemicals used in paper making. You know that.
Well, they didn't make it. They process after it was made. It was shipped to.
I see. Otherwise, because I thought when I got one of the shyster lawyers listening, very excited. Maybe he could start suing instead of the mesothelioma gangsters could start suing paper manufacturers next. All right, look, Pete, a lot of it is a mystery. You know that. We don't know all the answers. All we can do is keep on plugging. You know what I mean? So, Pete, before you go, a regular guy who loves the show, do you mind that I've taken a diversion from politics and WikiLeaks and SchmickyLeaks to talk about a stuffed pepper?
I love the gamut you run, the cross-section from A to Z. You cover such a multitude of topics.
What would you like me to cover politically if you had your choice and we're just sitting around having a glass of red wine? What would you like to talk about?
Oh, if we were sitting together having a glass of red wine. Oh, my goodness.
You see? No. All right. Well, think about it. I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty for Christmas. Christmas. C-H-R-I-S-T, not Xmas. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm just sitting here watching the wheels.
The vermin rat from hell, Julian Assange, the vermin rat from hell behind WikiLeaks, has now attacked one of the most powerful and perhaps one of the most dangerous women on earth. Hillary Clinton says that it's time for her to resign. Little Hitler says it's time for her to resign. Now, this is a man who is clearly suicidal, and there's a couple of words for him. Hubris is not one of them because it's too mild a word for this lunatic. There is a reason that the FBI had certain hiring restrictions years ago that would apply to Julian Assange, which I will not go into. But the man is clearly insane, not in terms of what he has done, but who he's attacking and how he continues to attack. Now, he's no doubt in my mind, he's just a monkey on a chain for the Obama administration. They want to neutralize Hillary Clinton. They know that she's clearly going to run against Obama in the primaries, and she'd easily beat him because everyone in the Democrat Party is terrified that Obama has destroyed the Democrat Party for the rest of the century. And that Hillary, being more of a centrist, could easily win. And that if the Republicans are idiotic enough to run Sarah Palin, which they're likely to do, it's the end of the story. So Obama just neutralized Hillary Clinton by using this lunatic, whatever. That's my theory so far. That's all. That's how I see it. That's why I'm talking about stuffed peppers. What I'm really trying to figure out is what I want to eat tonight after that candy apple lunch in that Chinese chain restaurant. I'm nauseated from it. There was a great scene this weekend in a series that I'm starting to warm up to, but it's so mixed. It's the Boardwalk Empire. It's good, it's great, then it's horrible. It's an amazingly mixed up mash, Boardwalk Empire. It's not like The Sopranos, which had perfect continuity, where one scene jumped to the next perfectly. There wasn't a scene in The Sopranos that was ever wrong, ever. Not one frame was wrong in The Sopranos. You get Boardwalk Empire. Some of the scenes in this HBO miniseries are perfect. And then some of them don't make any sense. They don't even fit at all. But one of the best scenes in it last week was when the guy who plays the FBI agent, who's a little ridiculous, is a Dick Tracy, you know, naturally has to be a Christian fundamentalist fanatic. And, you know, he's always made into a cartoon figure because Scorsese has a thing. You know, I named him Marty Scorsese for a reason a number of years ago. I think he's really running this one on just for the money. I mean, this Boardwalk Empire don't look like he put too much time into it. First of all, that he picked that guy who's a phenomenal actor, but he should only be playing second and third fiddle, never a lead. You know, no matter how good he is as an actor, he's not a lead. He's not handsome. He's not strong. When he punches someone, it doesn't look like it's real. I don't even remember his name, but Buscemi. He's good as like a, you know, and he has the voice for a carnival barker, like a carnival geek. It doesn't mean he's not a fine actor. He is, but not as a lead. So that was a mistake to begin with. But the best scene so far this week in Boardwalk Empire, since I'm jumping around a little, many of you don't even get it, HBO, I'm wasting my time, but try to imagine it. So the guy who plays the FBI agent is in a restaurant with a FBI assistant who he thinks is a rat, and he is, but he's not sure. And the second guy takes him to a Chinese restaurant in New York in the 1920s now, or was it Atlantic City, wherever the Chinese restaurant, and the other guy's eating the Chinese food with chopsticks. And the FBI, you know, rigid guy, doesn't touch the food, and because he doesn't trust this guy to begin with. So he says, the other guy says to him, aren't you eating your food? He says, I wouldn't. He says, I can't imagine what garbage went into that plate. He was talking about the meal I had for lunch today, by the way. Now, I'm basically, I can eat Asian food, but truth, at a certain point, it's enough already. They've been cutting back on the shrimp. They're cutting back on the everything they're cutting back. I mean, there's only so many bean sprouts that you can eat for $12.99. 1-800-449-825. Now, another scene that was awful in Boardwalk Empire, awful, stupid, idiotic, was the baptism scene where they go to end of a road to look for a still, and then there's some nice black people performing a baptism. The black people performing the baptism were done beautifully. It was sensitive. It was touching. But when he is going to baptize the Jewish guy he doesn't trust and he kills him in the water, drowns him, what? It made no sense. Total insanity. It was like another scene in that old Boardwalk Empire that was horrible. When the black bootlegger was shown to pull out two big guns, and be the big killer in one scene. Stupid. They didn't even have automatics, like chromed automatics in those days. You know, here's a series that should have authenticity, and it's pretty good with the costumes and the suits. I love the outfits, by the way. Men dressed beautifully in those days. I like the Commodore dying. I like the Commodore dying of arsenic poisoning. I thought he was done well. I like this mansion in Chicago. I like, there's a couple of things I like in there. The hookers are done very well. I could do without the Lezo scenes. I mean, they're so gratuitous. They mean nothing. I mean, what do you get? You have a vicarious thrill from two women kissing each other. Why must that be worked into every show? Why does Scorsese have to write in a lesbian scene every other week now? They secretly go and kiss each other. Oh, how exciting. Two women wearing like dresses that look like my aunt kissing with fur foxes. I mean, stupid. What, they're trying to show me everyone was a lesbian 80 years ago? There's nothing new about it? I mean, come on, stop with the brainwashing, Marty. You could do better. In my opinion, Scorsese took the quick buck on the Boardwalk Empire. He soaked somebody for this. I don't know who put up the money for this one. But that's why we call him Sir Marty Scorsese. Portland, Oregon. Nancy, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. You know, I just thought it was great to hear you talking about stuffed green peppers. Are you there?
All right, so make it quick, please. Don't go slow. Go quick as you can. Try to speed up the record.
Stuffed green peppers, red or orange peppers, put the top on them, just like you said. $4.50 is what I always cook them at.
All right. And thanks for the call. That's a great call, screening. I appreciate that very much. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. New York City, WR, Stephen, let's play the dice and hope this is better. Stephen, go ahead, please.
Okay, Michael, two things I want to cover. The first thing, in the late 90s to about 2005, they did change the recipe. It used to be very, very delicious, tasted great,
Thank you. When my mother was alive in Boca, in that area, it was very good. It's now turned into candy apple food.
You're absolutely right. Total corn syrup, even if you tell them to lighten up on it, they don't.
Yes! Yes, I said no sugar. It came in. I almost puked from it today. I'm slightly queasy from all of that sugar. I called up the manager, who I know, she's Chinese. She was apologetic. I'll send food to your house. I said, don't bother. It's over. I'm not going there. I can't take it anymore. It's time you people stop doing this. What do you think, we're idiots? I mean, I never saw anything like this. It's Chinese food developed for children with ADD, and they're Munchausen by proxy parents who apparently feed them sugar to trigger the ADD, is how I comedically put it.
They don't listen.
They don't listen. No, they don't listen. You say no cornstarch, your lips stick together.
Absolutely right.
Isn't it? I got one Chinese restaurant in San Francisco. No matter how long they know me, 30 years, she cuts back on the shrimp, looks me in the eye, how's the food? I said, well, where's the shrimp? And she says, how's the food? 8 times. And I say, where's the shrimp? And then the lips stick together. But I go in there every Tuesday for familiarity. I like that it says a sir. Anyway, what's on your mind?
Okay, the second thing, when you get off the air, you go home. Before you go home, stop at the supermarket, get a box of frozen broccoli, garlic, okay, a little mushrooms. If you feel like the carnivore, get a little filet mignon, cook that up at home, okay? You'll get rid of all that sugar.
Drinking tea right now. I'm actually a tea bagger. I actually do drink tea, like Arthur Godfrey used. I drink tea during every show. People don't realize it. I drink Earl Grey tea every afternoon. Which is a very good secret, by the way. Frank Sinatra used that for his voice. Did you know that?
No.
People don't realize. No, tea is amazing for the vocal cords. Never cold water, never ice water, no ice in your drinks. If you're in the broadcast business, use icy drinks with a lot of sugar in them so you go out of business. Do me a favor.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Understands that we are a responsible organization.
Speed
continue to be playing basketball whenever I get a chance. In fact, I played yesterday with Sasha and Malia, and they took it easy on me because they were feeling pity.
This disclosure is not just an attack on America's foreign policy interests. It is an attack on the international community.
We are all together, all you little walruses. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Lunacy, lunacy. It turns out that the leaders of the free world are idiots. They're just very dangerous idiots. That's the most important thing to know. They're devious. They're paranoid. They spy on each other. They undermine each other. They laugh at each other. In other words, they're like you and I. Now, speaking of you and I, in the first hour of the Savage Nation today, I was talking about so many topics. I can't go back. I'm not going to give you my theory again because I'm tired of having people rob them for morning shows. This is a political hit by Obama against Hillary Clinton, in my estimation. Why? Because he knows she intends to challenge him in the Dem primary. These WikiLeaks have destroyed it politically. It explains why the U.S. government did nothing to stop the release of these docs, even though they knew about it for months. It's damaged Hillary at home and abroad. It alienated her from her liberal power base because it shows her operating as a strong, practical leader instead of the pretend weak, passive socialist that she pretends to be. And it also focuses the media on security risks associated with her at a time when she's trying to pass the at a time when Obama's trying to pass the START Treaty and most needs America to ignore the security risks that he's creating with the START Treaty, as I point out in Trickle Up Poverty. So I don't want to do it all over again. And that's why I started to talk about how to make a good stuffed pepper. But, you know, I want to talk about one other thing about food before we go back to politics or whatever. I get a lot of takeout food, lunch, dinner, because I have a lot of trouble in restaurants, except for the few that I know the owners and they give me a private room or whatever to be alone. I basically don't like to be looked at when I eat. I don't like to look at others when I eat. I'd rather watch television when I eat than do anything else. Otherwise, I feel like it's a waste of time. Unless it's a business dinner, and which I don't have because I can't eat if I'm doing business. See, I don't understand. How can a person digest food while discussing money or a deal? It's almost impossible. They're mutually exclusive. Food is supposed to be around a relaxed setting. Otherwise, you wind up with irritable bowel syndrome, or you wind up looking like an average American. So I eat a lot of takeout food. And, you know, many of us fear the Chinese government and this and that. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. But what you don't know is that they've actually given all of us certain survival tools that they're not even aware of through their cuisine. Every house that I go into has a drawer filled with chopsticks that no one uses, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of packages of soy sauce, which if in an emergency you could live on, and little packages with napkins, a knife, a fork, and a spoon. Now, what could you use this for? I'm saying in an emergency, you've basically got survival food from your Chinese restaurant. Every house I go into, I don't care if it's a mansion, I don't care if it's a one-bedroom house, there's a drawer in that house, if you open it, thousands of packages of Kikkoman soy sauce, hundreds if not thousands of wooden chopsticks that people hate to use because they don't want splinters with stomach cancer, but they save them anyway, which is perfect to kindling for a fire if the electric grid should go down. So already we have heat. We can burn the chopsticks. Then we have Kikkoman soy sauce, which of course is disgusting to eat by itself. But believe me, if you had to, take a look at how good the Japanese did on Saipan with a handful of rice and soy sauce. And then, of course, we got the fork, knife, and spoon and the napkin, so you could be a Boy Scout. So you see, you've got everything you need in the drawer, all provided by your takeout restaurant. And that's why I'm having fun today, because I decided at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You get what I'm saying? What is the subject you'd like me to talk about? What they want to do to your Social Security? A group called A Third Way, which I started, wants to cut Social Security for the top earners in the U.S. I got so roasted over this morning at 3 in the morning. I have put into this fund for 50 years, and now they want to steal the money from me? It's my money. It's not their darn money to steal from me. Well, you take a look at the names on this Third Way committee, and you're going to find out who they are and who is behind trying to steal your Social Security money if you're a high earner, take it away from you. Let us see who's on it. Alex Rivlin, a member of Obama's debt commission. Bill Galston, a former Democratic domestic policy advisor to President Bill Clinton. So the Third Way is a group of evil men, including, evil in my opinion, John L. Vogelstein, former president of private equity firm Warburg Pincus LLC. Just the names Warburg and Pincus should tell you that they're up to no good. And the vice chairman is David Heller, global co-leader of, there we are again, Goldman Sachs Group, Inc.'s securities division. Among the 12 Democratic members of Congress who are listed as honorary co-chairmen who want to steal my Social Security are Rep. Jane Harman of California, the richest woman in Congress the last I checked, and Senator Evan Baugh, no one knows how to pronounce his name, Baugh of Indiana. So what they want to do is steal my Social Security. Now, I want to remind you, I put money into that fund all my life. That I've done well in the late years of my life because I'm still working, because I choose to. They have the right to steal my money. What if I want to turn my Social Security over to one of my children? The government has a right to steal it from me? I don't think so. Now, who is it who's going to get hit? First of all, you're going to get hit. Because the Social Security, this is so boring, but it bothered me at 3 in the morning. Right now I could care less because I'm queasy from the Chinese food. The retirement age now scheduled to rise to 67 in 2027. You hear? You think you'll still be here? Would gradually increase to age 68 by 2041. I'll stick around and let you know how that is. To age 69 by 2059 and to age 70 by 2077. Good luck. Good luck. because we've always known the Social Security plan made Ponzi look like an honest man. Mr. Ponzi makes the U.S. government look like a lie. Mr. Ponzi, by comparison to what the Social Security scheme is, et cetera, you can figure it out here. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer of Maryland said in June that Congress should consider raising the retirement age and providing lower Social Security and Medicare benefits to wealthier beneficiaries. I say, screw you, Steny. How's that? It's my money, Steny, not yours. You're a crook if you think you're going to take it from me without a fight. Okay? I resent this. I don't care how much I earn. I don't care how much I make. Who the hell is the government to steal something I put into all my life? With virtually no interest, by the way. You don't care about this. I knew it would be a dead topic. I knew it. But I feel it's information you should know what the Democrats are up to. They're all Democrats. They're all socialists. And they're all out to steal your Social Security. They're called Third Way. Why don't they just call them Leninway? It's like Carlito's Way. You know what I mean? It's not the Third Way group. It's like Carlito's Way. You know, all he needs is lizard skin boots, Steny Hoyer, and a sombrero. What do you think? Because the way they dress tells you who they are? I have more faith in a gangster than I do in these congressmen lately. At least you know where you stand with a gangster. Generally, you do. Well, you generally know where you stand with a gangster. So, again, if you'd like to talk about any of these important heavy-duty topics or chopsticks that can be used for kindling wood or how to live on soy sauce for 30 days until the police arrive, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to New York City. Aaron in New York on WOR. What's on your mind, Aaron?
Hi, just a quick point about Boardwalk Empire. If you notice in the beginning credits, there's a different director every episode. So I think Scorsese is just executive producer. Maybe.
Right. He lent his name to it and took the money and ran. That's why I named him Marty Scorsese.
But I totally agree with you. It's a very subpar type of HBO show.
Isn't it? I mean, there's no continuity. The writing is botched and jumpy. Did it make sense for him to kill the guy by drowning him during a baptism?
That made absolutely no sense. I mean, just the thought of a Jewish guy, like, being baptized because he's afraid of that guy, and then he just walked out.
Yeah, but why do you think they wrote it in? It was to make Christian fundamentalists look evil. Did you notice that? That's part of the left-wing agenda of the group behind Boardwalk Empire. They're always making Christian fundamentalists look evil. Every time I see a show, I get angry at them. I am not a Christian fundamentalist, but I don't want to see religions bashed like this by the vermin in Hollywood, and I include the people who make Boardwalk Empire. They have a lot of nerve doing this every time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good show at some points, especially with the Jimmy thing, but...
And by the way, Jimmy is an excellent character. I think he's got a long career ahead of him as an actor. He's very, very good.
Yeah, but I think he's going to start taking over more. That's what the Commodore is like hinting.
When he beat up the guy who slept with his wife and the other woman with the bat, that was well done.
Yeah, that was great.
I mean, he played stickball on him. I thought that was extremely well done when he beat up the photographer. You know what was the most touching scene? I don't want to get distracted because most people don't get HBO or listen to this show. Touching scenes that actually moved me was when Jimmy comes home after beating up the guy with the stick, and then the wife was about to run away, actually, and she comes home, and this because the people weren't there. He comes home and sees his little boy, this murderous guy who came back from World War I, a killer. Remember, he had gone to Princeton, allegedly, college boy, but he comes back after such carnage in World War I that he's a stone-hearted assassin, right? And he can kill a human being without a blink because of the war. He beats this guy up almost to death with a bat. He comes home, and he sees his little boy, who must be 3 years old, and he picks this little boy up, carries him to bed, in the sweetest way, puts him down, takes his shirt off the kid, lays him down, and he says, soon you're going to be big enough, and you and Daddy are going to be inseparable, and we're going to have fun. I was so touched by that, because unless you have... you are a father or you've been a father, you could never have written or acted that, done that scene correctly. Do you know that?
Yep, that's true. I mean, the guy with the mask also, that's like a good, the guy.
Oh, yeah, he's an original. The guy who lost his face, that was well done. I like him a lot. He's terrific as a killer. Very, very good. Very good. He's the Zeb Garuda guy, whatever the guy. He's like the gun in the... In the refectory tower, in the library tower. He's excellent at that role. He even speaks like he lost his, right?
Yeah, he's one of the best parts of the show. I mean, but if you look at the opening credits, you'll see that every show is a different director. So it's like up.
And what about the writers? But a lot of the people are a holdover from The Sopranos. You know, like the casting director is the same. I think it's always Bonnie Timmerman. And then one of the producers is always Tim Van Patten, who was involved in The Sopranos. I noticed that. So a lot of the crew carried over. They do not have the good writing continuity that you had when Matthew Weiner was involved, who went on, of course, to Mad Men, which is an incredible, incredible show.
Right, right. But anyway, so that's my point.
Wait, one last question, since you're an aficionado. Do you feel that the guy who plays the lead is correct for the role? I swear to God, I forget his name every time.
I love Buscemi. He was great in Con Air. He's great in like so many great movies. But you're right, 100%. I mean, it's just that guy is a little shriveled. He doesn't really.
Yeah, he always sounds like he's on laughing gas. And when he supposedly beats someone up, it looks like ridiculous. I'll be right back.
Savage.
But I will miss him here every day. And I will try harder to become half the public servant that he is, because his friendship is an honor, and honors come with responsibilities.
That's John McCain crying today because his good friend Russ Feingold lost to a Republican. Now you understand why I have such respect for John McCain. It's unbelievable to me how he won again. I'll never understand it other than he had more money than the fellow who ran against him, the former talk show host. It's astounding. Crying that Feingold lost to a Republican? And we're supposed to take McCain seriously? And you don't believe me when I tell you he was a fall guy for the Republicans to make sure Obama won? All right, now you understand why I'm loved so much by the political class. Okay, let's see what's next on the Savage Nation. Las Vegas, Elaine, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. It's nice to meet with you today. I can't believe I actually got through. I usually never can. I didn't want to discuss any of the insanity that's going on in the nation and the world. I just simply wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your honesty, your passion, and your integrity. I got your new book checked out from my local library, and but I had to take it back because there's such a long waiting list, so that's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, I'm going to send you a free copy, Elaine, for calling this in. I thank you very much. Yeah, it was sold out at my local Barnes & Noble. I went in over on the day after Thanksgiving when it's supposed to be Black Friday. It was a Black Friday for me. There were no books. So the manager said, well, that's a good thing and a bad thing. I said, well, yeah, it's good that it was sold out. It's kind of bad that it's not here on the day everyone's looking to buy. So I said, I'm a glass half empty kind of guy. So she's a nice lady. She's a black lady. She laughed. She says, Michael, she says, you're a glass half empty kind of guy. She said, I think you're a glass half full kind of guy. I said, well, okay, whatever you think is okay. But that's the name of the game. Does it really matter? You drive by on a highway and you see a cemetery. You ever see a military cemetery? Hundreds and thousands of crosses. Doesn't it not calm you down? Whatever's bothering you, you got a migraine, your tooth hurt, you got a toenail, your sister-in-law didn't look at you right at dinner, your mother didn't talk to you right when you were a baby, your father yelled at you too much, whatever, my God. Doesn't the cemetery kind of take some of that and put it in context for you? You're not coming back to fix all of those things, or let's put it another way. That's called living. All of these things that bother you is actually called your life, because there's no other way to live but with all of these problems. They're called the vicissitudes of existence. We all have them. It's just that you've been brainwashed by the medico-pharmaceutical establishment into thinking that all of these problems are psychiatric in origin and that a medication is required. What you don't understand is that nothing is required. It's called living. A glass of wine is required, a run around the block, a hug of a child. That's what's required. Not a whack job selling you about a Prozac or a visit to a lunatic in a doctor's office to tell you why he took his pants in and the mother put the wig and the brassiere was over the sink. That's what meant.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Man falls in San Francisco park, wins $30,000 and remains broke. Guillermo Chavez, probably an illegal alien, said he fell on a broken sidewalk at a playground, and he gets a $30,000 settlement, but he doesn't get any of the money. $10,000 goes to pay his delinquent hospital bill. See, they know how to work the system. $11,500 goes to his lawyer, and the remaining $8,445 will go toward other delinquent hospital bills unrelated to the accident. Chavez's suit does not specify his injuries. I wonder if it specifies his immigration status. I guess the hospital wasn't allowed to ask about the Sterling Mr. Chavez. You hear? Tripped and fall on a broken sidewalk. $30,000 a city like this. He should be in jail for this, along with his lawyer. Up to me? Oh, you're lucky I'm not in politics. Oh, you're lucky I'm not a politician. Jack Autry hits, kills man in Palm Springs. Jackie Autry, that's Gene Autry's widow, kills man in Palm Springs. They love this one because he was such a good guy. So the vermin in the Associated Press can't wait to smear Jackie Autry. She's done so much for sick children, and she's a Christian. She's rich. I mean, this woman has the trifecta of everything the vermin in the Associated Press hate. Palm Springs, California, AP, Associated Propaganda. Authorities say Jackie Autry, the 69-year-old widow of Singing Cowboy and Los Angeles owner Gene Autry, hit and killed a pedestrian while driving in Palm Springs. Autry hit 50-year-old Jesus Diaz on Thanksgiving, and he later died at a hospital. Woodward says, that's the detective, Diaz was not in a crosswalk. Woodward says it was clear Autry was not under the influence of drugs or alcohol, and she was not tested or cited. Investigators are awaiting autopsy to see if Diaz was under the influence. Now, Diaz was a homeless guy, wandering in the street, not in a crosswalk, and unfortunately, he got hit. Autry was married to Jean from 81 till his death in 98. She helped sell the Angels to the Walt Disney Company. Wonderful, good people. Do you know that Gene Autry is one? It was. I grew up on Gene Autry. You don't know that? A boy in the Bronx and a little... Could you have the Gene Autry song that I grew up on till I'm back in the saddle again? I'll tell you why I want to talk about it. My God. Ooh.
Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum wheat. Back in the saddle again.
All right. I can be cynical about it. I mean, I moved out west because of this. I'm still looking for the skies and the bison and the... where the friend is a friend. But basically, I moved out of here, out of New York, because of this song. Since I was 5 years old, I was dreaming of going west and seeing bison, riding a horse, seeing where a friend is a friend, hi, IAPE. Never found it. But the important thing is to be looking for it. The reason I play the Gene Autry song is I can remember to this day playing my little Victrola. I had a hand-wind Victrola. I can remember winding it by hand and playing this record over and over and over and over like a... until my mother came in and they would stop me, like, why are you playing the record? I said, because my life basically... I didn't know what to say. What does a kid know at five? Why? Because it's the apartment's small and everybody's miserable and I can't stand it here and I'm dreaming of growing up and getting out of here, Mom? I didn't know how to say that. But I took the first dream line right out of that city that I could get. It's been pretty good. If I stayed in New York, I would have been dead at 48, I'm sure. I'm positive. I love New Yorkers. I mean, in fact, you know how excited I get when I get good callers out of WOR. You know that. But the truth is, at this stage of my life, I'm really a Western guy. I mean, you know, if I'm anything, I'm a Californian in many, many different ways. I've lived out here so long. I know the Bay of San Francisco better than most of the politicians. I know corners and rivulets of this bay that the mayor doesn't know because he's never been on a boat. I know corners and rivulets of this bay that the governor doesn't know because he's never been on a boat. I know the corners and rivulets of this bay that the attorney general doesn't know because, et cetera, and let me go on. Yeah, I may be from New York, but I know more about California than all of these stuffed shirt phonies know about the state. You think they hike? You think they boat? You think they watch birds the way I do? Am I boasting? Nah, I'm just talking. I'm talking here. I like the Jimson Weed part. Play that again. I want the people to listen to the words for a minute. The Gene Autry thing. One more song.
Out where a friend is a friend.
Yeah, a friend is a friend,
where the
sure.
Longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson Weed.
All right, the longhorn cattle feed on the lonesome Jimson Weed. So that's why when you eat red meat, you wind up loony, slightly loony. It's It's Jimson weed fed beef. Maybe that's why the Cowboys were so ornery and so good in the old days. They ate Jimson weed fed beef instead of this hippie feed that they use now. Organic this, organic that, all made by some shyster in a factory anyway in Culver City. And then they pay off a government inspector to put the word organic on it. I mean, suddenly it's sacred, you know what I mean? It's like a kosher stamp. Organic, oh, that really has a deep meaning. You let the cow, you know, eat Jimson weed, you're better off than what they feed him today. It's like the dog pellets. Have you ever looked what's in your dog food? Lamb and this and that. You ever seen that, those chips that the dogs eat? All right, maybe it's a step above what my parents fed the dog kennel ratio, which killed him at eight. I think I have the only dog on earth that got a heart attack in 1958. I never knew a dog could get a heart attack. How does a dog get a heart attack? It's a shocking thing when you consider it. Today they live to 25. I never saw anything like it. In my day, a dog was 7 years, the dog life. So dog lived to 10, he dropped dead. 10, 11, it was a plenty of life already. Mine died at 8. I came downstairs, this ferocious half chow. He was a half chow. I don't know, my father liked it. I told you he bit me. I'm not going to go into it. Not my father. The dog bit me down to the bone, and my father came and determined I was at fault. So I thought he was going to shoot me instead of the dog. No, because everyone was saying, oh, you got to put the dog down. All right, we were hundreds of miles away in the Catskill Mountains. He drove up from work. It was not miles in the undershirt, the DeSoto with the roof rack, gets there white in the face, the leg is, and he asks me questions. He gave me the grilling. He gave me the legal grilling, what exactly happened. Well, the dog come to bite you. I mean, the whole detective job. It's like an Irish detective approached me after I was bitten. And he determined I was at fault, and that's why the dog bit me to the bone. Because everyone there wanted the dog, you know, euthanized. If it was up to him, I think it would have been the reverse. But anyway, the dog was he dies at 8 years old. Again, not the panda, the dog, which was at 56. And now that I look at it, it's not funny. My father lived to 57. God rest his soul. So it could be something to do with the table scraps. Like if you feed the dog table scraps, what do you expect to happen? I mean, the same thing that happened to your grandfather likely is what happened to the dog. But I feed my dog table scraps. I can't help it. Well, he eats the chips. I have a yin-yang with dog food. I give him the hippie whole food chips, you know, with the lamb and the vitamin 18 thiamine nitrate and riboflavin, mycosulfite. Believe me, I know all of the chemicals. But the fact is, all right, so he gets the chips mixed in with, I give him some roast beef. He loves turkey. I got in today. He almost died from the leftover turkey. He likes the packaged turkey better, or roast beef. And I chop up a carrot, figuring I'll throw an extra 3 months into him. You know, I bother chopping up a raw carrot. It's like a religious thing. You put in a vegetable. You know, by incidentally, I got to tell you, this is very interesting because we were talking about food before. When I grew up in Queens in that house with the dog, Tippy, that died at 8, that bit me, if I tried to give the dog a vegetable, it was like God came down from, don't give him a vegetable. They can't eat vegetables. They can't digest it. Why, Dad? He likes it. No, they can't eat vegetables. They're meat eaters. Give them that kennel ration, which is dead horse. It was horse meat. I have found my dogs love vegetables. They like green beans. They like carrots. I had no idea a dog was a part vegetarian. I never knew it. Unless this is an adaptation to modern times, and they're all more politically correct today than they were in the 50s. I don't know whether they watch TV when you're not home. Certain channels tell them it's good to eat vegetables if they don't want to die like their grandparent dog. I don't know why they eat vegetables all of a sudden. But the dog eats carrots, as I say. He likes green beans. He likes even a banana once in a while, the dog will eat. So it's an interesting thing how even animals change through time in America. Everyone seems to mellow out except the practitioners of the religion of peace. They still try to blow up Christmas trees in Portland somehow. Everyone seems to mellow out in this country. You know what I mean? The sex, the drugs, the rock and roll seems to mellow everybody out. And God bless us for having a country like this. Every immigrant group comes in and they become a different person for the better, actually, despite all the problems. Except one group stuck in the 7th century, they want to whack everybody else. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Clip 11.
Now, none of this is going to be easy. We have
two parties for a reason. There are real philosophical differences, deeply held principles to which each party holds.
Two parties.
The atmosphere in today's meeting was extremely civil.
Yes.
There's no doubt that those differences are going to remain no matter how many meetings we have.
Wow.
And the truth is there's always going to be a political incentive against working together, particularly in the current hyper-partisan climate.
Gee, I wonder why there's a hyper-partisan climate when we have a communist in the White House, an incompetent communist in the White House who's as devious as they come. All of a sudden, he discovered that there's a two-party system. Last year, he wasn't talking the same way. There was no two-party system. It was only him and Nancy Pelosi, the hammer, and the other goon squad. Now, all of a sudden, he recognized a two-party system. Well, that's the story. What can I tell you? Not only is he incompetent, but he's also very dangerous. And his number one competitor is Hillary Clinton. It's not Sarah Palin. Because I'm telling you again, I can read the tea leaves better than anybody in this business. She was laying the groundwork very carefully. She left the Senate to give herself a higher profile internationally. Flew in Air Force 3, world tour. She was out of the country during the elections, wasn't she? Why was she out of the country during the last election? She didn't want to be smeared with the Democrat brush at all. She comes back all of a sudden. Obama lets the puppet from WikiLeaks do the dump. They could have stopped him. They closed down the pocketbook sites last week, the people selling fake pocketbooks. They seized the websites, Homeland Security, but this guy they can't see. I know he's a foreigner, believe me. And you want to hear something interesting about this whole WikiLeaks thing? All these fake civil rights groups and all these fake First Amendment groups who did nothing to protect me for when I'm still banned in England, all of a sudden, oh, free speech, First Amendment, he's not broken any laws, there's no real espionage, Julian didn't do anything wrong. Where were they when I needed them? I am telling you what this is. It's a left-wing attack upon the entire conservative movement worldwide. It's a left-wing attack upon any person who believes in nationhood. And this guy is just a stooge. Okay, Interpol issues wanted notice for Julian Assange. He has served his purpose. He has damaged Hillary Clinton, perhaps fatally. That is on a political level. And now that the stooge has done his job, just as in the Manchurian candidate, he will be pulled into court on a rape charge, which may or may not be real. And you know what will happen once he's in the courts there. Sweden, I think, issued the rape. Consensual sex with women, which is the part I don't understand with regard to this guy, Julian Assange. But we'll let that go because I'm a sexual libertarian. I really don't care how a person stimulates themselves at the end of the day, as long as they don't bother my children. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What else is in the news that you want to hear? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Let's go to Austin, Texas. Becky, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Michael, I just wanted to tell you that I was very surprised that the books were sold out over here in Barnes & Noble because this town is so liberal.
Yeah, but here's the thing you've got to know. Even in a liberal town like Austin, there's 30% of the population that's frustrated and has been forced to shut their mouths. In other words, I don't care where there's a liberal dominance, 30% of that city is very conservative. And they can't stand being shut up, and they can't stand being shut out by the local media that never, ever reflects anything decent about America or anything decent about the family. And so, of course, they rushed and bought my book out in Barnes & Noble. I know that sold out all over the country again. It's on reorder for the Christmas holidays. Did you get a copy eventually?
No, I had to go rent it from the library.
I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty, okay, for the Christmas holidays. Christmas holidays. Not Xmas. Taxes now we're going to hear about endlessly. Bannon, not Bannon. Whatever. I don't know. They want to take my Social Security away. I worked all my life. Whatever it is, it's my money, isn't it? You know that you can turn your Social Security over to your child if you want? And the government under Steny Hoyer wants to steal it now and say anyone who makes over a certain amount, even though you put in your whole life 50 years, you shouldn't get it. I would sue the government if they try to steal my Social Security, saying you earn too much to collect it. It's my money. I entrusted it to these gangsters. Now this gangster group of Democrats are saying they want to take away my Social Security because I earn too much money. By who? By their standards? You mean if I was a bum in the gutter or an illegal alien, I'm entitled to the benefits? What a country. What a country where everyone who's productive and decent gets punished, and every bum on earth comes here and gets rewarded by these Democrat socialists. What else is in the news? There's so much in the news you can know. Look at Charlie Rangel. Look at that. It reminds me of what a religious book that I read when I was young said. A man can spend his entire life building up his life, and in one moment, it can all be destroyed. Of course, in Rangel's case, it wasn't a moment. It was 30 years of deceit. That's the one. I always liked Rangel. I knew he was like a roguish kind of guy, came up from Harlem. You know, that whole... I kind of liked his voice, his old bearing. I knew he was, you know, I knew. You could see right away the kind of guy that that Fox News would love, you know, to go to dinner with and be amazed at how good his manners were, like Bill O'Reilly. Remember when I went to dinner with Sharpton and said, wow, he really has good manners. That was really great, Bill. Doesn't show any of your bias there. So they say that Sarkozy is thin-skinned and authoritarian. Now, what'd you think from a short guy with elevator heels with a beautiful ex-model wife who had a certain past? You think he wouldn't be thin-skinned? And he's French? Nicolas Sarkozy, thin-skinned and authoritarian. U.S. Embassy cables detail how staff and ministers fear ire of French president and warn of impact of personal lifestyle. You got to laugh at some of this. He is the most pro-U.S. French president since the Second World War. Okay, he's a very good politician. But apparently, behind the scene, they didn't like him. They were afraid of his Sarkozy's divorce, remarriage, and flashy lifestyle. Well, compared to George Bush, hello. I mean, George Bush was married to a Stepford wife. Whirlwind marriage, a remarriage, and flashy lifestyle. To George Bush, anyone who ate roast beef without gravy on it was a flashy lifestyle. Anybody who ate rare meat that was cooked had a flashy lifestyle. Didn't eat mashed potatoes with butter on it had a flashy lifestyle. They showed a French leader keen to be the personal friend of George W. Bush and Barack Obama and what one, blah, 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 blah. So in other words, they were spying on him and they said he was this, he said he was that. Who cares? They're so gossipy. I don't like Sarkozy personally. In world leaders, there's something sneaky about him that I don't care for. It's not that he's French or that he's short with elevator shoes. It's not even that his wife has a certain undignified past. None of that seems to impress me in one way or the other. There's something about him that does not smack of leadership. It smacks of just a deal maker, a slimy deal maker. I'll tell you, I know that he's authoritarian. I know there's no democracy in Russia, but for some reason, I like Putin. I don't know what it is. I can't go into that. I don't know the man personally. I saw that some actor gave $1 million to save the Siberian tiger, and he got an audience with Mr. Putin as a result. I guess that's the price of admission. After all, the tiger that's called a Siberian tiger is in Siberia, and Siberia, as you well know, is in the purloin of Vladimir Putin, I suppose. Now, although I gave money to save African elephants from slaughter in Uganda or Rwanda, I don't know which country they were moved from, and they were moved to another, I'm going to give them another donation because they do something with the money as opposed to fake animal charities, of which there are too many. I don't think I'll get a chance to visit Idi Amin's relatives for having saved the African elephant. Anyway, who wants to meet world leaders? Again, it's not my cup of tea. I have to travel. I have to buy a suit. I'd have to get another haircut, which I haven't had for a month. Then I'd have to eat a meal I don't want to eat, probably some exotic meats. I'd get a polonium sushi appetizer. I really don't need it. I'd rather just send the money to the groups that do good work and just stay here in front of the microphone until kingdom come. Well, there's another big hour coming here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Late yesterday, more than 200,000 State Department documents turned up on a website called WikiLeaks.
This is very, very damaging to the United States.
It also hurts the human rights activists.
Collect the credit card and frequent flyer information of foreign diplomats there.
The American people are very proud of their transparent political system.
The individuals responsible are going to have blood on their hands.
The embarrassment, the damage.
Open and transparent government is something that the president believes is truly important. But
as a spy, aiding and abetting the enemy.
Classified information and its dissemination is a crime.
That person shall be guilty of espionage.
They know the impact it's going to have against the United States. They know it helps groups like Al-Qaeda.
Capture him and bring him to justice on espionage.
That will be used to kill Americans and carry out attacks against the United States.
Now, who is the man behind WikiGate, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange? Who is this man? Well, let's go back to what he did. He released sensitive U.S. military documents related to military operations and intelligence in Iraq and Afghanistan. Nothing happens to him. WikiLeaks was responsible for releasing the video showing a U.S. Army Apache gunship attack on a group of Iraqi men in which two Reuters cameramen were killed. Well, the question is, why were they there with the enemy? Now, who runs the site? The site is run by a nomadic Australian, a former cultist named Julian Assange. He denies being the founder of the site, but admits to being WikiLeaks editor-in-chief. The man is a celebrity in international anti-American circles. And he's appeared in a lot of anti-American conferences around the world. Where did he get the documents from? Well, just last week, Private First Class Bradley Manning, a 22-year-old nobody, an Army intelligence specialist serving in the Middle East, was arrested and now faces a court-martial for releasing sensitive military data that was eventually released on WikiLeaks. While WikiLeaks will not confirm that Manning is the source of some of the footage and documents displayed on its site, they have hired U.S. Defense attorneys to represent him. Well, we'll see where that goes. As of now, the United States government has asked WikiLeaks to withdraw the documents and to stop displaying classified material. But not only has WikiLeaks refused to stop posting sensitive items, they continue to release thousands of additional documents. A spokesman for our enemy, the Taliban, have stated that they will review the documents released on WikiLeaks and see if they can identify informants and kill them or punish them accordingly. Now, media types have been discussing what can legally be done to stop WikiLeaks from releasing sensitive intelligence that could, let's say, put the lives of military personnel at risk. Well, problem is that WikiLeaks has no official headquarters, and while it is based in Sweden, its contributors seem to operate out of private houses or rented office spaces. Reportedly, this character Assange was using a rental house in Iceland to release most of the recent documents and video involving sensitive U.S. documents. Well, we'll see where this goes. There have been rumblings among some circles in Australia that Assange is aiding the enemies of Australia and endangering the lives of Australian soldiers in Afghanistan. Now, the Australian government could theoretically revoke his passport and order him out of the country, but so far, nothing has been done, probably because they're afraid that the left-wingers will scream about censorship, censorship, censorship. Well, what else could be done about old Julian Assange and WikiLeaks? Well, we don't know. Why speculate about it? The fact of the matter is, I think this man is trying to commit suicide by email. Sarah Palin had a very interesting Facebook posting on it. She said that his past postings of classified documents reveal the identity of more than 100 Afghan sources to the Taliban who will likely be hunted down and killed by the enemy. She asked, how is it possible that a 22-year-old private first class could get unrestricted access to so much highly sensitive information? And how is it possible that he could copy and distribute these files without anyone noticing that U.S. security was being compromised? Sarah Palin asked, what if any diplomatic pressure was brought to bear on NATO, EU, and other allies to disrupt WikiLeaks' technical infrastructure? Why hasn't this been done? Now, the White House has now issued orders to all federal departments and agencies, asking them to take immediate steps to ensure that no more leaks like this happen again. Yeah, well, that's terrific. But here's the real question. All you got to do is ask yourself this. The U.S. government, through the FBI, raided some websites just last week that were selling pocketbooks illegally, copied pocketbooks from designer labels, and they shut down these sites. Why has the U.S. government not shut down a WikiLeaks site? Why did they permit these encrypted emails to go out to the world over the weekend? Well, I have my own theories on this. You want to hear them? Well, you'll hear them again on the Savage Nation. Obama is protecting him so that his useful idiot can be deployed again and again in the future against Obama's enemies. How do you like that theory? Does that work for you? This is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.me.
Savage.
We've also been talking about the Portland bombing attempt, and here with a look into the story is Eric Stackelback.
Well, Michael, always great to be here, and I thought a good story to focus on this week is one that's been kind of overshadowed by the WikiLeaks fiasco, and that is this case of this young 19-year-old Somali-American in Portland, Oregon, plotting to blow up a Christmas tree lighting ceremony on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Now, this 19-year-old Somali, his name is Mohammed Abu Mohammed. He plotted to kill potentially thousands of people, Michael, at this tree lighting ceremony. This was an elaborate FBI sting. They did a great job. FBI and law enforcement in this case were on the ball. They posed as jihadi operatives, and they supplied him, Mr. Mohammed, with fake explosives. He believed that he was going to ignite these explosives at this tree lighting ceremony, which is kind of an annual Portland, Oregon tradition there downtown. And thousands of people, including women and children, obviously would have been there. And Mohammed knew this quite well. Some of these lefties and some of these Islamist spokespeople in the U.S. are screaming entrapment here, Michael. That's nonsense. He had every chance to back out of this plot. He chose to forge ahead with it. He talked again and again to undercover FBI agents about his lust for jihad, to kill innocent Americans, and to bring what he called a dark day to America. And even before this attempted attack, Michael, he made a video, an Al-Qaeda-style video, in which he dressed in camouflage and ran it against America and talked about jihad. And this brings up a very important point here. When they have discussed the Somali threat, Michael, they've talked about, well, social ills, social inequalities here with Somalis in America. They've talked about events back home, the occupation of Somalia over the past few years by Ethiopian forces. Events back home are radicalizing Somalis here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, the case of Mohammed Abu Mohammed in Portland shows very clearly that at the end of the day, jihad, Islamist ideology, is the motivator here. We had some lefties a few years ago. They said, it's the economy, stupid. Well, when it comes to Islamic terrorism, it's the ideology, stupid, and U.S. government officials better wake up. The Somali threat in this country, thanks to a State Department program, Michael, a State Department-run refugee resettlement program, the Somali threat in this country, the Somali jihad threat in this country, according to intelligence officials who I speak to, is at the top of the list of potential threats here that our intel guys are worried about, that they're concerned about. And with this refugee resettlement program, it's been in effect really in terms of bringing Somalis here since about 1992, and now we have at least 200,000 Somali Muslims in this country.
Really?
It's really tough to calculate just how many are here, Michael, because look, each Somali family has at least six kids on average, and a lot of them are here fraudulently. They were able to take advantage of this refugee resettlement program. It was a real travesty, the State Department revealed in 2008. A lot of these refugees coming here were coming here illegally. They were misrepresenting themselves. Who knows who came here under this program? Do we have Al-Qaeda sympathizers? Do we have guys who were involved possibly in the Black Hawk Down incident?
Exactly.
Now, we know most Americans, when they think of Somalia, they think back to 1993, that Black Hawk Down incident where we saw 18 U.S. servicemen killed. Some some of them drugged through the streets of Mogadishu, the Somali capital, and that incident showed Somalia, I hate to say it, but it showed Somalia for what it is. It's a barbaric, backwards, third world place. And that's very politically incorrect, but I'll say it without hesitation. It is what it is. And that is what Somalia is. And they have no link, no affection, no kind of, they're not in touch at all with Judeo-Christian, Western, first world civilization, which is what the U.S., at least it used to, represents.
Hmm.
So it's just an exercise in sheer madness and stupidity to bring people coming from that environment to this country and to plop them down into middle America. And look, talk about a jihad terror threat. Not only are many Somali Muslims who come here very serious about their Islam, and as we've seen over the past few years, Michael, the more serious you are about your Islam, the more prone you are to get involved in jihadi terror. But now, Somalia is much worse off than it was in 1993. The country is controlled, at least large areas of the country, Michael, are controlled by an Islamic terrorist group called Al-Shabaab that is linked, closely aligned, with Al-Qaeda. And this group's leadership has pledged allegiance to Osama bin Laden.
Oh, my God.
We have several terrorist training camps set up in Somalia now, Al-Qaeda camps, where Westerners, young American Muslims, are going to train. And some of these young American Muslims, surprise, are Somalis. They're naturalized U.S. citizens who carry U.S. passports, who were brought here under the State Department's refugee resettlement program. Now they're here. And at least 20 of them in the past 2 years have left Minneapolis and traveled to Somalia to join up with this Al-Qaeda-linked group, Al-Shabaab. Minneapolis is a very interesting case. Of all places, the frozen tundra of the Twin Cities, Michael, has become kind of the Somali-American Mecca. There's at least 100,000 Somali Muslims living in Minneapolis right now, so that is the real center. And that's really what got me interested in this whole Somali/refugee resettlement program story. Now, when this news broke over the weekend of this young Somali in Portland attempting to blow up this tree lighting ceremony, it's really ironic, Michael.
Why do you say that?
I was in the final stages of a chapter of my upcoming book, which is all about the Somali Muslim threat on U.S. soil. So the timing couldn't have been more ironic. I was just wrapping this chapter up when this Portland incident occurred, and in my book, in this Somali chapter, I run down how it all happened, how we all got to this point, how we got to the point where the Somali jihad threat to this country is just really mushrooming to into a very dangerous place.
Well, sure, okay.
It all started in the early 90s, as I mentioned, with this refugee resettlement program by the State Department. They weren't satisfied with bringing Somalis here just to traditional gateway cities, you know, New York City, Chicago, L.A. The State Department, which, by the way, in this refugee resettlement program, and I talked to a State Department rep about this, Michael, they are specifically targeting people from the Middle East, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Surprise, these are all Islamic strongholds. And the goal here, this guy told me, is, look, we want to, basically, in so many words, they figure, the State Department, the U.S. government, and this has been under Republican and Democratic administrations. Their whole philosophy is, if we're nice to Muslims and we help them and we bring them here to resettle, they'll like us more.
That's crazy.
Well, that strategy has been proven wrong again and again and again. It hasn't worked with the Somalis. In 2008, we saw the first successful American suicide bomber. He was a Somali-American, a U.S. citizen, who came here in 1996 on this refugee resettlement program. He blew himself up in Somalia and took 27 people with him. And this is why it's so interesting. This guy was from Minneapolis. Minneapolis. What would these Somalis be doing settling there? Well, as I was saying earlier, the State Department, there's new gateway cities now with this refugee resettlement program, Michael. Nashville, Tennessee. Columbus, Ohio. Portland, Oregon. These are not cities that traditionally have brought a lot of immigrants in, let alone third world Islamic immigrants from Somalia. But that's the situation now. The U.S. government's goal, it seems to me, is to spread out these Muslim refugees, Muslim immigrants, in a as large, as wide a geographical area as possible across the United States.
How could this be going on?
And I'll just leave you with a parting nugget here, Michael, in terms of Europe. The U.S. is not the only one with this Somali problem. By some estimates, Great Britain has at least 250,000 Somalis living in that country right now, and about 78% of them live in London. It seems that Britain is hell-bent, as you and I have discussed, Michael, on committing national suicide. Well, we here in America don't want to do that. It's not only Britain, though. Sweden, Scandinavia, 50,000 Somali refugees. Denmark, 20,000. The Netherlands, 17,000. Norway, another 20,000. This is madness.
This is unbelievable to me.
Michael, thank you. Always a pleasure. And look for my show, Stackelbeck on Terror, at cbnnews.com. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the report, Eric. This is what diversity has brought us, huh? This is what the left wants to do to us. I've been saying it for years on the radio show. I've written one book after another about what the left wing wants to do to America. And I've hit the nail on the head in Trickle Up Poverty. Read it. Now, if you'll go to michaelsavage.com now or tonight, you'll see on the right side from the Wall Street Journal, Russia positions warheads near NATO allies. Can you believe this? This is what's going on right now. And then Wikigate, which I coined, is the White House versus WikiLeaks, a sucker punch for Obama. Again, I'm not sure I agree with it. There's an article saying Michael Savage is going to write two new thrillers for St. Martin's Press. It's true. I will confirm that rumor. I've signed the contracts. Picture of Teddy. Pentagon says no harm in ending the don't ask policy. Really? No harm to who? The fat cats who sit at home? Saudi King takes up the entire VIP at a New York City hospital. 86-year-old monarch has forced other patients out by block booking the hospital's top treatment and recovery rooms. It's good to be king. I would do it too if I were the king. You want to hear other patients screaming and then the next room or complaining that the gefilte fish is too salty? I wouldn't. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. On the bottom of the page, well, let's see. The ACLU is meddling again, trying to destroy America. They're saying that police in Rhode Island are violating the rights of limited English-speaking people. Oh, boy. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Clandestine couple hid five kids from society. Oh, this is too much. I can't even look at the news anyway. A woman threw a toddler off a six-story walkway in London. Oh, please, I can't look at it anymore. And go to the top left. Stop Obama from destroying our national security. How? Read Trickle Up Poverty. Get it for Christmas. Former president, the meddler, the Marxist, Jimmy Carter, has called the release of the diplomatic cables as damaging to America's friends around the world.
I think that the thing that has happened this time is that no one dreamed that they would ever be revealed. I don't know that anything serious has happened that would be damaging to America's policies around the world and so forth, but I think the earlier WikiLeaks did possibly expose some of America's friends in Iraq and Afghanistan to possible retaliation after it was known that they were supporting us, sometimes without the Taliban knowing who they were.
This, of course, echoes Hillary Clinton's comments that I played yesterday, where she said, it wasn't just an attack on the United States, but on the whole world.
The United States strongly condemns the illegal disclosure of classified information. It puts people's lives in danger, threatens our national security, and undermines our efforts to work with other countries to solve shared problems.
Now, the White House press secretary says that the president was not pleased by the release of these documents.
I think it is safe to say that the president was, as an understatement, not pleased with this information becoming public. As you have saw during the presidential campaign and as during his time in the White House, open and transparent government is something that the president believes is truly important. But the stealing of classified information and its dissemination is a crime.
Well, what did the president himself have to say in this issue?
I will continue to be playing basketball whenever I get a chance. In fact, I played yesterday with Sasha and Malia, and they took it easy on me because they were feeling pity.
Thank you, Mr. Obama. Why would the government close down sites that are selling pocketbooks but not close down a site that's releasing these cables, which are absolutely damaging to certain individuals? Who is the most damaged by this? Well, Hillary Clinton. To me, this could be a political hit by Obama himself against Hillary Clinton, because he knows that Hillary Clinton's going to run against him in the primaries. Okay? If this is a political hit by Obama against Hillary, it explains why the U.S. government did nothing to stop the release of these documents, even though they knew about it for months. These emails have released her, these emails have damaged her image both at home and abroad. These emails have alienated Hillary Clinton from her radical left-wing fanatic base, because it shows her operating as a strong, practical leader who knows what we are really facing, instead of the weak, passive kind that the liberals prefer, meaning a pacifist. This also focuses the media on security risks associated with Hillary at a time when Obama's trying to pass the START Treaty, which is one of the most dangerous treaties in the history of America, as I point out, in trickle-up poverty. And he needs America to ignore the security risks that he's creating in the START Treaty. This may also explain why Julian Assange of WikiLeaks hasn't yet been eliminated by a foreign government or arrested.
We are a responsible organization. So it's trying to make it as hard for us as possible to publish responsibly, in the hope that it can get us to not publish anything at all. Because not publishing anything at all would mean not publishing the abuses by that organization.
Now you got it. That's the vermin behind WikiLeaks. That's the rat behind WikiLeaks who just gave himself away. The abuses. The American government's abuses again. One of the cables says that the U.S. has said that the Saudi donors are the chief financiers of Al-Qaeda. Let me repeat that. One of the cables that the New York Times refers to says that, in passing now, Saudi donors remain the chief financiers of Sunni militant groups like Al-Qaeda. Of course, there were no other details about the cable provided by the Stalinists at the New York Times. None. The reference cable is not linked. There's no specific language about this. Although the Times then reports it, we don't know if it's even real. So don't think that the New York Times is too far apart from their kissing cousin, Julian Assange, at the at WikiLeaks. In fact, I know he's suicidal. I'll tell you that right now. This man is a suicidal psychotic who is virtually asking a rogue element of one of these governments to be released to kill him. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope he's just tried for any crime he might have committed. But look at what this man has alleged against Russia, that they're in cahoots with the Russian mafia. Who does he think he is? How does he think he's going to get away with this? Who does he think is going to protect him? Does he assume he's bomb and bulletproof? There's not even a fine line between a freedom of speech and reality. It's a very, 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 very firm line with regard to freedom of speech. I know this very well, trust me. There's certain areas that you have to be very, very delicate about. This man apparently doesn't care about these delicacies. In fact, he is actually wanting to commit suicide by email leaks. You've heard of suicide by cop. I believe this lunatic wants to commit suicide by email leak. Savage. New York, Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Poor Obama. No matter what he does, he can't win. if instead of these new X-ray lasers being put in, a plane was blown up by a terrorist on the plane, you people would be saying, oh, that Obama, he didn't search people good enough. He should have taken...
I say he should, sir. He should start by searching Hillary Clinton. He should start by searching all members of Congress who fly. I think that that would be a good place to start, don't you?
Hillary Clinton is not going to blow up a plane.
How do you know? How do you know? Would a nun blow up a plane?
If you're so dumb that you...
Wait a minute. You just said something very interesting. You're a very brilliant man. You said that you know Hillary Clinton wouldn't blow up a plane. I agree with you. Oh. Would you not agree there are other members of society who you can pretty much be sure won't blow up a plane?
Yeah, I'm pretty much sure that I won't blow up a plane. But
Hold on. Well, there you go. Now we got two Americans who won't blow up a plane. You won't. Hillary Clinton won't. How about the man who called who said that his son just graduated from Marine boot camp with 20 other young men who are willing to give their lives for the country? Shouldn't they be given a separate entrance to an airplane as they come out of boot camp? Like the whole group be allowed on the plane without having their crotches grabbed by these perverts?
Well, what does this have to do with civilian airline people?
Well, because they're flying in a civilian airliner out of the boot camp. The boot camp's in wherever it is, North Carolina, wherever the boot camp is, and they're flying home as a group. Why should they be frisked by your friends in the TSA?
These people were not out of a boot camp. What the hell are you talking about?
Look, sir, I know you're senile, and you lost your wife a long time ago because she couldn't take your insanity. But you're on a national radio show right now. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Why is it that the same left-wingers that you support are so sensitive to the needs of terrorists and are not sensitive to the needs of American people? How do you explain that?
How do you explain the fact that you said that France had fallen to the Muslims, that it was completely under control of the Muslims?
When did I say France had fallen to the Muslims? I never said that.
Stupid.
I said that everyone who knows anything knows that London is now called Londonistan. Londonistan.
I never heard it called Londonistan. Maybe you
Well,
have.
Of course not. You don't even read the Internet. How can you know what anything's called? You're still reading the Journal American from 1942 that you found in your bathroom.
What the hell are you talking about?
Get off my show. Take a walk. Don't even listen to this show. You lower the IQ of my listeners. Never listen to this show, sir. Only listen to NPR, where they talk your kind of language. That's all. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. You know, I saw a story that got me sick. It was a kid fell off at the Staples Center. Here it is. Child dies after 50-foot fall at Lakers game. How does this happen in this world? A kid is at a basketball game in Los Angeles watching the Lakers. I haven't been in a basketball game since Jamaica High School. I used to like the sound of the sneakers on the floor, and I would cheer for the team that wore the colors that were like my high school, but I had no idea what they were doing. It was generally the kids who couldn't pass any courses. They gave them a basketball, and they told them they'd get into the best colleges if they continued doing whatever. And I liked it because when you're a kid, you don't know any better. My preference was the rifle team. We go in the basement, and we would shoot the Mossberg 22s. I like the smell of gunpowder in the afternoon. And the target rifles. And nobody ever shot themselves. Nobody ran through the halls and shot anybody else. How is it that all of a sudden, all of this madness is breaking out in America for the last 10 years? There's a lot of reasons. Child dies after 50-foot fall at Lakers game. I'm supposed to go to a basketball game. So spooky, it's unbelievable. Child dies after 50-foot fall at Lakers game. How could this happen? What could it do to the parents? The parents' hearts are broken, right? Take a guess what the government is doing to the parents. Child abuse unit investigating boy's death in Staples Center fall. Now, I want you to understand something. The luxury suites are reserved for very wealthy people, not for people who would abuse a child in this manner in any way. Instead, the degenerate state is going to investigate the parents who just lost a child. A 2-year-old boy falls out of a luxury suite after Sunday night's Lakers game, and right away the degenerates in the child abuse unit are investigating the parents. No sympathy, no compassion. Instead, they're questioning the parents of what they did. What did you do? Were you watching them? What were you doing when the child was in danger? How come you weren't watching them? Maybe you should be arrested. A child falls out of a booth. It's an accident. and these degenerate vermin in the child abuse unit come and investigate the parents? This is the kind of country we're living in. This is unbelievable to me. If you have not been a parent, you don't even understand what happened here. How can you blame the parents for everything that happens to a child? One of my relatives just got a new puppy. And this individual knows, very little about raising children. He cannot believe what a puppy can do to itself. It could lick a broom that was just dipped in a lye solution. It could walk into a moving wheel. Unless you've raised a baby, you don't understand the danger a baby is in. A baby is a creature without any knowledge of anything. Liberals who don't have children, all have nieces and nephews, are the experts in child rearing. You ever say to a liberal, you don't know what the hell you're talking about with regard to children? They say, well, I have nieces. I know a lot about children. I'm better than you. Even though I don't raise them, I know more about them because I have a niece and I have a nephew. And an infant can die in a quarter of an inch of water in a bathtub. An infant can drink Drano. An infant can poke his eye out with a pencil. Anything could happen to an infant if you've ever raised one, unless you understand it, unless you're one of those singles who works for MSNBC who has a niece. You have to understand a child needs total protection all the time. That's a given. Okay, so you take a kid to a basketball game, and you turn your head for 1 minute, and he falls out of the stand and dies. Well, okay, does that mean that you should go now and break the parent's heart even further? Kill them altogether and say that you're responsible? I don't know. It's unbelievable to me. So the railings are low in the suites, right? And perhaps a little child shouldn't have been in the suite. Hey, there's your answer. Maybe they should get a shyster lawyer. But if you lost the child 2 years old, should you now be investigated by the child abuse unit? All the experts now. Why don't you ban basketball games? Why don't you ban basketball games? Why don't you close down the Staples Center? No, better yet, why don't you put TSA agents in the basketball arena to investigate basketballs in case that somebody put TNT inside a basketball? 1-800-449-8255. The left wing in this country actually does not exercise any kind of scrutiny on the kind of people actually suspected of terrorism before they commit terrorist acts. That's number one. In fact, Janet Napolitano objects to any attempt to even listen in on cell phone calls initiated by suspected terrorists. Janet Napolitano and the Obama administration will not even capture and subject would-be terrorists to aggressive questioning prior to them committing the act of terror. So what this is, the TSA pat-downs, is a much more nefarious thing. What it is, it's a strategy to get you used to being searched without due cause. It's a violation of the Constitution. It's an attempt to get you to see yourself as a criminal, as a person who deserves to be searched in this unnecessary and perverted manner. And by the way, under Obama, it will not stop at airports. This is another attempt to drive a nail in the coffin of American freedom as the radical left-wing Obama administration continues its march to take over the United States of America. The more you acquiesce to this type of illegal and unconstitutional searching, the closer the Obama administration is to giving up or taking away your rights in plain English. That's how most Americans see this. Make no mistake about it, we have a naked Marxist as president, surrounded by unappointed, what do they call them, czars or whatever. They're still the hidden communists inside the government, nakedly, overtly contemptuous of our freedoms. And you have to be very creative in fighting them. You can't fight them straight up because you're going to be arrested. So what you have to do is fight them in a way they don't expect. Now, I recognize that some of you like love taps by the TSA because you don't get enough loving in your own life. And I realize that you have to submit to this if you want to fly. But there are ways to fight back against an oppressive regime that may be legal and yet a little unorthodox. For example, if one of these deviants who gets on his hands and knees and sticks his hands up into your behind, what if he touched an old man who got nervous who released bowel gas in his face? I realize this may be a little burlesque for most of you, and it's not considered sophisticated. But nevertheless, it's an interesting thought. Would that old man be arrested for assault by bowel gas? Now, let's go through this question again. What if they make a person nervous, as one of the deviants gets on his hands and knees with rubber gloves and gives you a frisk in the derriere, and an old person lets go with a little bowel gas in the face of the TSA agent? Could that person be arrested? It's an interesting question because I don't know the answer to it. But I'd like to ask you what would happen if 10 million people on the same day had the same accident. Would the TSA then develop a new method of screening passengers? Or would they risk assault by bowel gas? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. If you care to talk about this burlesque question, you can call me on that number. This is...
Savage.